Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we are continuing in our series called King of Kings through the book of Matthew. This morning, we're looking at the truth that Jesus carries our sorrows. And when we say our sorrows, we're saying those whom he calls the humble, those who are broken, those who are outcasts. We're going to see that today. And as we look into Matthew chapter 8, there is a break here. Those of you who have been with us, we've studied Matthew chapter 1 through 7 last year. It was a revelation of who Jesus was. Like, who is this? Who is this that's come on the scene? And we found out that he was the incarnate God of the universe, the Yahweh that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Yahweh would come to earth. He would be proclaimed by John the Baptist, and he would be a human being. And he would come, we're going to find out, to die for our sins. And in Matthew chapter 8 through Matthew chapter 10, he's establishing his authority over sickness, over sin, over Satan. And ultimately, in all of those cases, he has the power as God in human flesh, as the Messiah, to grant salvation to whoever he wants to. And the thing that is so offensive in this chapter and the following chapters is that Jesus uses his authority not to call the knowledgeable, not to call those with a great pedigree, not to call those who have it well in life, but he calls the outcasts, he calls the outsiders, and he calls those who are ostracized. It's kind of shocking. In fact, we are going to meet three people in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus does three healings in the first 17 verses of the chapter. And those three people really picture the outlay of the temple in Jerusalem. On the outside of the temple, you had a plaza, and it was called the Court of the Gentiles. And there were signs that said no Gentiles are permitted to go any further upon penalty of death. So they had to stay in their area. They couldn't get close to the Holy of Holies. They couldn't get close to the presence of God. They were on the outside. And then there was another area cordoned off from the temple, and that was the Court of the Women. And women could go there, but they could go no further. They could never see with their own eyes for example, the burnt offering that was offered morning and evening. Only the men of Israel, 13 years and up, could go into that place, and they had to be clean. So another person that we meet in this chapter is a leper. And he wasn't even allowed anywhere near the temple. He had to go into a colony away from the temple. He couldn't even live in society. But the people that Jesus heals in this chapter is not even a Gentile slave, a leper, and a woman. And we get the idea that Jesus Christ has the authority to heal and to save and to cleanse whoever he wants. And he's not calling out those who have it all together. He's calling the humble. He's calling the broken. He's calling those who are all fogged up and can't see, and he comes to make them see. And so there's hope for anyone here today who is of a broken and a humble heart. If there's someone here who is proud, if there's someone here who is living a life that is deceitful, a life that is just playing games with God, the Lord is not calling you. And that is frightening, isn't it? That is frightening. But if you are broken and humble, God is calling you. And that's what we're going to see. Just by way of introduction, turn over to Matthew 11. We have John the Baptist in prison. And he's wondering whether Jesus really is the Christ. Because if he's really the Christ, why am I in prison? If he's really the Christ, why isn't he ushering in the kingdom? We read in Matthew 11 in verse 2. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we seek for another?" And what did Jesus answer him? He answers him according to the healing prophecies of Isaiah 61 and other passages. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." And here it is. "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." This is offensive to human pride. We think we can get ourselves together so that we can be acceptable before a holy God. And here is the offensive truth. Jesus isn't looking for you to have it all together. He knows you don't have it all together. He knows you're a mess. And he's calling you, if you could just see how messed up you really are. And so we see these three stories, healing miracles of Jesus, that crescendo with a quotation of Isaiah 53, verse 4 and verse 17 of Matthew 8. And it says, these healings was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. In Isaiah, in the Hebrew, it says he carried our sorrows. Everything connected to pain and sickness and sorrow is connected to our sin. We have pain because we have rebelled against the holy God. And Jesus Christ comes to this mess. He could have simply set it aside. But he comes to this mess and he gets in the mess. He gets down in the mess. And without sin, he cleanses us of all of our sins. Praise the Lord. So what you need to know, Christian, is that your sorrow and your pain, yea, and even your sin is just a temporary condition if you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as King and Lord of your life. So let's get to these three people. The first one that we meet is an outcast. Jesus heals the leper, this outcast. And we see this in verses 1-4. And what we read is that when Jesus came down from the mountain, from teaching the Sermon on the Mount, these same people that heard him preach this sermon followed him. These great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him. As we read that, it just seems like some information, black and white on a page. But think about it this way. A leper was never able to get near anybody in the community. This was the HIV/AIDS of the ancient world, and it still exists today, though we've brought forth medicines and cures. Now it's called Hansen's disease. But it's a contagious skin disease that not only affects the skin, the color and the texture and the odor of the skin, but it affects the throat, and there's a raspiness of those who have leprosy. You know who they are. And it slowly destroys the nerves in the body. Lepers often lost their fingertips or toes or had broken limbs because they couldn't feel the weight of something, or they couldn't feel the heat of the fire or a cut of a knife. And so they would actually lose parts of their bodies as a result. The disease of leprosy was abhorred by the Jews. And those who contracted it were forced to live isolated from the community, isolated from human touch and the joy of human intimacy and contact. And we know of a few cleansing of lepers in the Old Testament by prophets, but they were very rare, one in Numbers, one in 2 Kings 5. Leprosy, though, in reality was a living death sentence. They had to warn people as they went down the street, "Unclean, unclean." It was a slow, cruel way to die. They had to live outside of the community. how this leper slipped into this great crowd. He got into the community, not only into the community, but to the living Holy of Holies. And was actually touched. Somebody touched him. This unclean person. In fact, perhaps he was ringing a bell as he came to Jesus, and everybody were getting out of the way, and he was ringing it and shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" And everybody's like, "Get away! Get away! Get away!" And they were probably fleeing from him. But there was one person that wanted to touch him. Touch this unclean person. Embrace this unclean person. Look at Leviticus, just to see how the law sets this up. Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. We read in Leviticus 13, 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. What a deplorable condition this man had. And yet, what a magnificent faith. He came down from the mountain, and Jesus had these crowds following him. And behold, there is this leper who finds Jesus and kneels before him. And what we see is that this man has faith. Somehow he heard the teaching. I don't know if he was listening to the Sermon on the Mount, just on the outskirts of the crowd. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Wait a minute, Jesus is talking to me. I've got to find him. I can tell from his teaching, from his voice, from his compassion, that if there's anyone in the world that will accept me, it's this man. I've got to go to him. I've got to find him. Where's the bell? Ding, 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 ding. Unclean! Unclean! And like the parting of the Red Sea, this man walks right to his salvation, his own Savior. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, "Wait a minute. Have you been cleansed according to the law of Moses? Don't you know Leviticus? Don't you understand the law? I'm not a leprosy specialist. Why are you coming to me?" No, we read in verse 3, Jesus stretched out his hand. I can just imagine that he touched him. We don't know everything. Perhaps he might have just kissed him on his forehead. I imagine this touch was as if it were an embrace. It doesn't say. But how long had it been since anybody had touched this man? How long had it been since he had any intimate communion with a human being? How long had it been since anyone had ever thought about him, cared about him, much less touched him? And he touched this man. And I can just imagine the compassion and the power of Jesus' heart as he yells out, as he proclaims, "Be clean." And here is the one who, when he spoke, worlds came into existence. This one speaks. And disease and demons and debauchery depart. You see, Jesus transcends the law. He didn't break the law of Moses. He was the one who in that moment made him a new creation, we could say, physically. But I believe also spiritually. Because we read that this man had said, "If you will." He wasn't demanding anything. He was submitting to the lordship of Jesus. "If you will." And that is the cry that the Lord listens to. You see, we don't come to the Lord on our terms. We come to the Lord on His terms. Lord, whatever you want. We don't get to write the fine print in salvation. We don't get to say, Lord, I'll serve you if you make life easy for me. If you give me this job, if you make my life a great excitement instead of a great disappointment. Lord, I'll serve you if you do that for me. No, if you want to save me, and regardless of you want to do, on your conditions, I come to you. And so he made the leper clean. What about you? There's something more dangerous than HIV/AIDS. We have friends that have this disease, and we love them. But it's so hard to see someone with a deadly disease dying before you. But let me tell you that something like leprosy or a deadly disease is such a small thing compared to that which will have an eternal effect on your soul. And that is your sin and your rebellion against a pure and loving God. Have you dealt with that? Now, everybody here might think that you've dealt with that, but what does your heart and your life say? Are you living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, not giving him any conditions, but saying, oh God, make me clean? Have you come to him in unreserved humility and submission before the Lord and God of the earth? Well, if so, Jesus will make you whole. Anyone who comes to him, he will never turn away. You see, our greatest danger is not the hypocrites that are in church. It's not the world outside of us. Our greatest danger is our own proud heart, our own self-sufficiency, our own methods of numbing the pain of our life instead of going to the God who heals all of our infirmities, and by His stripes we are healed. We must go there. And if you're here and you're lost, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Listen, don't harden your heart. This might be the 1,001 time that you've heard the gospel. Don't think it's too late for you. Come to Him as a little baby, as a little child, and be saved today. But there's something else that we need to talk about, and that is to the saints among us. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a heinous terrorist of your soul, and it's you. And you need to deal with it. And don't put it off until tomorrow. And don't use carnal means to be sanctified. Don't just think that you pile your head with knowledge and go to the church and do all the things like a Christian robot. Are you living the Christian life? Are you feeling the joy and the love of the Holy Spirit? Do you have the self-control? Is there goodness flowing out of you? Are you cleansed? Or are you still dealing with your leprosy? Listen, you can't cleanse your leprosy yourself. You must go to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that has the power to cleanse you of your, not only your sin, but the patterns of sin in your life, your passions. Listen, I know a man who is God, and he will help you crucify that old life. He will put it down. And he will bury it. Submit to him today. Let me ask you, can you say, I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see? Can you say, somebody touched me? Do you have a testimony of conversion and faith in Jesus Christ? You know how you know if you have one? You're like Saul of Tarsus. Everywhere you go, you're saying, you know what? I was on the Damascus Road. And I saw a bright light. Everywhere you go, you're telling your testimony. You can't stop talking about the one who saved you. Now, this is really strange. Look in verse 3. It says in verse 3 that his leprosy was cleansed. And what is the first thing that Jesus says to him? Verse 4. Very strange. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Well, this is really peculiar. But you have to understand it. It's one commentator said it this way. Jesus will not storm Israel with his messianic claim. Instead, he will knock quietly on its door, leper by leper, little by little, unquote. I think that's well said. You see, there's this sense in which Jesus veils his messiahship. There's this sense in which he keeps telling people, don't say anything, because he will not be made Messiah by man. He is the Messiah. He will not be brought by force to be their king or their deliverer. He is their king already. And nobody is going to give him his messiahship. It is already his. He doesn't need the affirmation of men. He has the affirmation of God. And so you'll see in each of the Gospels that Jesus is constantly veiling his messiahship. He doesn't resort to gimmicks. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he knew what was in man, and he had no confidence in man. You can read John chapter 2 about that. Now look at verse 4. He says, show yourself to the priest. And it says, for a proof to them, or a proof against them. It could be translated either way. The idea is that God isn't calling the priests. God is calling the lepers. Most of the priests are too proud to come to Jesus. Not all of them. There were some that came. But go and show yourself to the priest, so that on the day of judgment, this will be proof that their hearts were hardened to me. They still rejected me, even after they saw the evidence of a leper who was miraculously healed. You know, we can take something from this, from 1 Peter 5:5, which says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Don't inflate yourself before people. Don't exaggerate your own accolades. Don't be your own press. Be nothing. That's what God would have us to be. Without that, we will not experience the true fullness of God. Stop getting your eyes on yourself. Stop having your eyes on others. And put your eyes on the one who, if you would come to him, he would touch you and make you whole. Secondly, we're going to save secondly and thirdly for next week. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to consider that Jesus is all about bringing the outsiders, the ostracized, the outcasts, into the Holy of Holies. They weren't allowed in the temple. They can't go to the Holy of Holies. So Jesus brings the Holy of Holies to them. How great is our God and Savior. Let's stand together and let's sing that. Father, we pray that as we consider that you receive the outcast, that you would receive our praise for your greatness and our smallness, your majesty and our nothingness. Lord, make us humble in your sight by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, save anyone here who may not know you today. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, the name above all names. Amen.